from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with us here on Sabres Live on this Friday, which is definitely the hardest one we've had since RJ's passing a year ago. Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew were killed last night in a terrible accident in New Jersey while riding their bicycles. And we've been spending the entire day talking about them so far. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic is here. Shayna, it's always great to see you. And even in, you know, we often joke about like what we talk about during commercial breaks and, you know, how you always come in, you know, flying here with just great insight and humor and excitement about everything. And sometimes everything just slows down and it's a little hard to comprehend. I know during the break, we're just looking at social media posts, one that I just saw. I mean, you're based in New York and I saw this beautiful picture of Rod Gilbert and Bernie Parent and Johnny Gaudreau. And boy, oh boy, in a very small geographical area, those are three awfully large names that have impacted so many in hockey.
Yeah, it's really nice to see like when everybody has, it's like the overwhelming picture right now is everybody with good things to say. And it kind of feels like that was just the energy and vibe, right? Like everyone had something to say. He was just purely a nice guy. And then you see him in a picture with that, like Rod Gilbert, he was the people's player. You know, I know it's like a weird way to preface it, but like, that's how you think of him in his legacy in New York. And it's just everything. It's so much today. It's really been a wild one, especially after, I guess, how things were handled last night with some of it. I was a little slow on the pickup for some of it, but like It's nice now after you can like put that aside and people are just have good things to say, and the stories you see and the quotes coming out, and you remember like different things and you're like, what a good person.
No, you're 100%. And one of the first thing I thought of is when Johnny decided, I mentioned it in the first half hour of the show, when he decided to leave Calgary to come out east. And, you know, everybody talked about the Devils being a team for Johnny Gaudreau because he grew up in New Jersey, or the Flyers because he grew up across the river in Philadelphia, you know, the New Jersey side, or the New York Islanders maybe closer to home. And there was a lot of criticism. Ah, why are you leaving Calgary? Like, that's selfish. That's selfish. Your team needs you. And now I'm like, I don't think we ever will go there. Anyway, I won't ever go there, like criticizing somebody to leave because they want to get closer to home, because there's, you know, life isn't forever. you may think you're going to be here for the next 70 years, but it's not forever. And he got to come home for 2 years, which he would never have had the chance to do if he hadn't made that hard decision to leave Calgary and come to. So I don't know if there was something there that you were reflecting on, because that's where my head went when I learned the passing of he and his brother.
Yeah, I saw a passage from his Players Tribune piece about it, and it reminded me of that. Like, it feels like this was a player that everyone always had something to say, and spun in a negative way for some reason, because it feels like that's just like the way it goes in hockey sometimes, right? Like, it was the size was talked about, or the eating habits was talked about, and it's something you could just try to poke fun at. You know, Johnny Hockey eating Nutella and doesn't eat a vegetable, but instead people would turn into a negative, like, that's why he's not doing this, or he's not performing in the playoffs. And then comes off this MVP caliber season top five in voting that year, you know, absolutely killed it. And then you look at, he had the choice and people were so negative about it and saying like, Columbus isn't New Jersey. You're not that close to your family. Like, you just went through the COVID years of not being able to go over the border and you're doing that. And that story from Players Tribune, it's a reminder of why he did it, you know, talking about stuff with his dad and getting that vacation home for him and just being nearby and doing what's right for him and his family. And his wife was a NICU nurse. Like, there's so much to it. And I feel like people always forget that element. And we heard that discourse this summer, right? With the Trouba stuff with his wife, and people were so quick to jump at it. People like this is their career. But it's not everything. And people forget that so quickly because you're just rooting for a team.
Yes. And amidst what you both just talked about were the words post-COVID. And it's going to be a long time for a lot of people to really be able to truly process where they were at immediately post-COVID. Because many people lost people in their lives and never got to say goodbye to them. And I have no doubt that their outlook on what they would like to do with the rest of their lives was dramatically changed. And so I'm with you. Marty, I feel like there's no reason to ever overly second guess much of anything now when it comes to contractual decisions.
Also, some people have the chance or the opportunities. I lucked out. I got drafted in Buffalo. I got traded to Philly. I had one offer on the table to go to the Islanders and one offer on the table to go to the Rangers. I was close to my family. I was close to my family in Buffalo. I was close to my family in Quebec. I never got to make that decision. Hey, do I want to, you know, go in a different country? Or, you know, the European guys have to deal with that all the time, which is very hard. But Johnny Gaudreau dealt with it also, being that going through COVID, Canada was different. We just had that conversation at home yesterday about, you know, having to travel, not seeing my parents for a whole year and a half, right? Because we couldn't travel back and forth. So that is, definitely that. Now, I didn't know Johnny Gaudreau at all. Like, seeing him in the locker room, hey, how you doing? Asking him a couple questions, whatnot. You know, I don't know if you had a chance to interact with him in some of your pieces, but I look at the hockey player and, you know, the drive and the leadership and the skill set. What was your first time you saw Johnny Gaudreau and were like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's something else?
Yeah, I never met or interacted with him either, but it was the NCAA days. You saw like the BC vibes and like the stories of him and just his personality, which we don't always see in hockey. And it was like a quiet personality. And it was unintentionally funny sometimes.
Yeah.
And that was like the player you learn. And then you see this short, small statured player was just such a spark. And then you see it at the NHL level. Like, it was so exciting to see him come up the ranks. And it was so exciting to see him have his MVP caliber season. I think of that series, like Dallas-Calgary. Yeah. And it's him coming up huge with these like amazing end-to-end plays. Like, he's such a talented player. You know, I'm biased towards short players. As someone who's short, I always like to see them, you know, thrive. And I love it when everybody gets upset if someone isn't that like stereotypical build and can be so incredible. And here he was, this like line driver. And the unfortunate part, I feel like, is even after he had that season, everyone made it into such a negative.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
executive, like, actually it was Kachuk driving that line, or actually it was this. And it's like, you can't just appreciate what that season was and what a player he was, because it didn't work out necessarily immediately in Columbus. So I'm hoping people can try to find the positives and stick with them for like 3 seconds to just appreciate like that kind of year that he had.
Wouldn't it be like a feat in itself that he accomplished 115 points while being coached by Daryl Sutter, a defensive yeah. specialist? So you would have to say like, that's even harder to do.
And you see what the team was without him. And obviously it was without him and Kachuk in one shot. But like, you know, they transformed that team. They were a top heavy team, and yet it was fine. They were the best line in hockey for an entire year. Yeah. You know, that's no short feat.
No, there's so many parallels and comparisons that can be made when you're talking about a player of his physical stature. And of course, the irony for Calgary as a franchise in a city that loves the game is that they had Marty St. Louis back in the day, but Marty became an MVP with Tampa, right? But Calgary also had Theron Fleury, right? And Theron was the greatest, smallest player at the time in his career, right? And so after missing on St. Louis, ultimately losing to St. Louis in the final, which made it even worse in 2004, but having that homegrown Johnny Gaudreau literally, like, just take that massive step and fill those shoes and become, when it was all said and done in his time in Calgary, top five in franchise history. We're talking about Jerome Iginla, Theo Fleury, Al MacInnis, and Joe Nieuwendyk.
Yeah.
And there's Johnny Gaudreau. Like, we sit here today, RJ Way, right next to the arena, and we always revere the names that are up in the rafters, right? And I think it was pretty obvious that if Johnny had stayed in Calgary, his name and number would have been up there as well. But that's okay. He was allowed to make the decision he made. And man, what an impact. When you think of him, like, Shana, you go into so much detail when looking at players and what makes them impactful. Like, if you were hard pressed to, you know, quick, I need 300 words on Johnny Gaudreau. What makes him special? Why did he do it? How did he do it? Like, what are the words that come to mind?
One of the best puck movers in the game, especially that one, you know, those seasons. It was, I think, the two seasons. It was the MVP caliber year and the year before it, maybe it was. I remember I worked for Sportsnet then, and I was very curious who's the best passer in the league. And names like Huberto came up because he had that crazy scoring season as well. And Mitch Marner came up, and Robert Thomas. And I remember you kind of starting to take out the special teams and just look at the 5-on-5 play. And it was like Thomas and it was Gaudreau. And I remember making pass maps of it. And you're getting all these lateral passes. And you look at Elias Lindholm and everything he did that year in the scoring. And you look at how it was Johnny Gaudreau giving him those primary assists, and how he was the dual threat too, because Kachuk was a low-key good passer. You had Elias Lindholm, who had a lot of secondary assists, and you watched just how the three of them played off each other in a way that was so special. It's like, you think of, you know, last year, even the Jason Robertson line, it was all three members clicking, but you saw who the driver was, and it was Gaudreau that year, 100%. The way he just generated offense off the rush, which was something the Flames didn't really have outside that line. And you look at them now and go, they don't have that. Like, they replaced Johnny Gaudreau with someone who was touted as one of the best passers in the league, but actually wasn't in Huberto. It was a little overrated there. And you look at the differences, right? Because the team, it was the top line that was the most transformed that year. And look at the differences. And it just, I think, highlights exactly what he did. He was such a smart player with how he entered the puck with possession and how he got plays going and how they kept plays alive. You know, he was really good behind the net and just keeping things going and just facilitating play.
Yeah, I think passing and playmaking, despite the fact that he scored that game 7 goal against Dallas, short side on Ottinger on the rebound, reverse VH, we can criticize whatever we want. It was just a perfect shot for a perfect goal. But playmaking was obviously why I believe the Johnny Hockey nickname came about, because it was the whole hockey. It wasn't Johnny top shelf. It wasn't Johnny Sniper. It was Johnny Hockey, because everything fitted well. And, you know, Patrick Laine had a post on Instagram right now, but we all know that Laine has struggled with some, you know, off-ice mental health. And Johnny Gaudreau last year was the very first one to support Laine, to support his teammate, to donate, you know, to the cause. And that, I think, is today even more important to remember, more than the goal and the assist, is the person that he was and the help that he gave for so many others. What do you think about how Columbus as an organization is feeling right now? I said Matisse Kivlenix a few years back, and then the Laine, you know, I want to move on. And now this, it's like every single turn, Columbus seems to be getting, you know, bad news after bad news. Where do you think they're at right now?
I can't imagine it. You know, like, we make jokes throughout the year, they're the Columbus Broken Jackets and they have bad luck. But then you look at everything and it's just awful. Like, I hope the organization has put in a lot of support, because they have experience with this and they should know what resources their players might need in this time. And I think the Line A experience last year was another way to learn from it. And, you know, especially knowing Johnny Gaudreau was someone who was so supportive of mental health, which we don't see enough in sports as a whole, in hockey. It doesn't get talked about, and you hope more players will speak up like he did to kind of set an example. So I hope the team kind of takes notes from that and they can find ways to support that locker room, because it's just another thing thrown at them that I can't imagine how, you know, you can keep your head straight at this time.
Especially with Gaudreau, how the pressure of having to try to be successful in Columbus, and then the guy you're supposed to play with and Patrick Laine is not there, you know, a lot with players would have been like, this absolutely sucks. Like, I want to be angry about it. But he was the total opposite. He thought of the human being and supporting. And I think that's important to point out.
Yeah, which absolutely.
Which we all collectively do for the Gaudreau family today. Shayna, it's always great to see you. Thank you for your thoughts today. Very important. And we'll definitely look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic will conclude Sabres Live after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.